today. And thank you, everybody that's joining in. Man, this is, I've been trying, I don't know if you've noticed, I've been trying not to do long series this year so far. Well, I just want to announce after next Sunday, that's probably coming to an end, okay? I just, you know, there were some folk that didn't have a whole lot of faith in the house that I could actually do that. But listen, next Sunday is very, very important. And today we're finishing up a two-part series on how to know His ways. And so, man, this is simple. It's to the point. But if you missed last week, you probably need to go back because I don't want to miss you. I mean, when the train comes by, you need to get on. But it's important for you to know where you're going, okay? And so if you missed last week, and those of you that are joining us, why don't you go back and take a little look-see. But next week is a very important week because it's Resurrection Sunday. And I want you, and this is kind of the charge that the Lord put on my heart for you, go love on people this week and love them to Freedom Life Fellowship next week. I want to tell you, go love on them. And you know what? We tell our staff, when you pray over people, if you see a manifestation of comfort or inner healing or physical healing, or if you don't, I want to tell you, the main thing I tell them is not the manifestation. When you get through praying and loving on people, ministering to people, when you walk away, if they know in their innermost being that they've been loved by Jesus, we win. Because I want to tell you, love wins. Yeah. And, you know, if there wasn't a manifestation that we were praying for, I can just announce, because of the heartbeat of the Lord, it's on the way. And so our part is to love them with Jesus. So go love on people this week. Bring them. Those of you that are watching over the device, whatever device that is, I'm not going to try to name them. It's above me. But I want to tell you something. If you're within driving range, come. Okay? Well, y'all doing something special? Just Jesus. It's all about Jesus next week. And, you know, so I just want to encourage you to come. And you say, well, it's a ways. Well, you know, we've got folk that will probably be here from Abilene, Texas next week. They come on a semi-regular basis. And I'm just amazed by that. But it's not because of me. You already know that. It's because of Jesus. And so I want to say Jesus is worth driving for. How's that? And so just come. We get started at 10:29. There's a whole lot that happens that you're not able to see on a device that happens. But next week, we're going to hand out and tell you about your passport, because the resurrection is your passport into the kingdom of God. Oh, I can't say anymore. I try to preach on it. Okay. And my wife's excited because I hadn't even got it all down on paper yet. So she's praying. Okay, let me tell you this. Now, Amazing Kaylee, Big Zach, y'all know about how we feed the squirrels at Camp Hallsville. Yeah, you remember we got the corn cobs that we put on the little string and it hangs down. And the squirrels come and eat that. Well, even the young squirrels, because we get a new generation of squirrels every week. And y'all say, well, you know, you shouldn't be feeding the squirrels. Well, they don't tear up my house. Just saying. Show a little love, okay? They go next. No, I ain't going to say it. I love you. But, you know, we have that other feeder. Do you remember? It's the green box that's on the tree. And what's interesting every year, and Big Zach and Kaylee have helped me with this, but every year, the young squirrels, the new squirrels, they don't know how to get the feed out of the box. It's got a lid on it. You remember? And, man, there's more corn and sunflower seed in there than they could eat all day. But the little corn on the cob will get eaten up pretty quick. And then they set on top of the box and try to get in. Well, they're sitting on it. They're sitting on the lid. And so we came up with a little trick there that we do. And you remember we take a stick and we prop the lid open. You remember that? Yeah. We prop the lid open. And so the young squirrels can figure out that, you know what, there's feed in there. And if I just stick my head in there, and after a little bit they figure out that, you know, even if the lid's closed, I can use my head to raise the lid and get in there. And they crawl inside the box. Yeah. Now that's a picture of blessing right there. And so I want you to know that Jesus has provided for us more than enough. Let's all say more than enough. That's a great description of Jesus. You know why? Because he said it. He said, I am. And when he said, I am, that's what that means. I am means more than enough for whatever you need, for whatever you face, for whatever is in your future. He is more than enough. And so I want to tell you, but like the little young squirrels, sometimes we don't know the principle of getting in the box, to getting the overflow supply, because he is overflow supply. And so we have to learn. Are you with me? We have to learn the ways of God. Well, is that necessary? Yeah, it really is, for you to walk on and follow on in the Lord. And he wants you to know. He's not, I know next week there's going to be some finding of the eggs. That don't bother me. Don't worship the rabbit. Don't eat the rabbit. They're good eating. And, you don't have to. But what I'm saying is the eggs, you know, they're good eating. But I'm just saying to you, there'll be some religious folk that may try to rain on that parade. That don't bother me. Don't worship the eggs. Don't worship the bunny. Have fun. I will tell you this. Those people that seem to be too religious for that kind of thing, you just tell them, well, we put money in the eggs. You watch them get healed in a minute. Yeah, adults be out there, you know, pushing the kids around. That one mine. Now, what I'm saying is that the purpose of the eggs, the thing, the little game, is to not hide it from the kids, but to hide it for the kids. The purpose is for them to find. Now I want to tell you, the Lord does seek and find. He says, ask, seek, and knock, and you'll find. And the emphasis in the wording, the original wording, is to keep on. Don't just do it one time, say it didn't work for me. No, I want to tell you, keep seeking him. And as you're asking, seeking, and knocking, guess what? Guess what? He's hidden it for you, not from you. Amen. It's his delight for you to discover. And he's paid the price for you to receive it. And so he's the more than enough God for you. Amen. Well, that's the Lord. So 2 Corinthians 1:20 speaks of this because God's power is available. He's the I am. He's more than enough. His works are available. His promises are yes and amen. And he wants to do his work in us. Wait. You got to see this. He wants to do his works in us so he can do his work through us. There's a priority there. I know because we minister to pastors and we love them. We love pastors. But I want to tell you, and ministers, but this is the thing is that sometimes the emphasis that we get, I had one tell me just a few months ago, just pray God will use me. I want God to use me. I want God to use me. And then it just hit me in the conversation. And I wasn't mean. He knows I love him. But it came out like this. You know, our emphasis should be, Lord, make me usable by ministering to me. We let the Lord minister to us. Then the through us is an overflow. Okay, that's the Lord's desire for you. And so, for as many are the promises of God, they all find their yes, answer, and in him, Christ. And so, the promises of God have been given to you. And don't let people say, well, some of the promises are for girls, some are for boys, some are for Bible boys and gospel girls. I'm telling you, the promises, Jesus made the promises for you. Let's keep it simple, saints. Okay? The promises are for you. Now, the Holy Spirit can personalize a promise for you. Now, I'm not talking about getting on the internet and going out to Spookyville. I'm talking about the Word of God. And the Word of God applied to your life. And he loves to do that. We're people of the Word. For this reason, we also, there's a part for us. We also utter the amen. Amen is a powerful prayer. It's not something you say to mean that means start eating. Amen is a powerful prayer that says, I want that in my life. It means, so be it. It means, yes. It means, I believe. Okay. As a matter of fact, I'll just mention. That's exactly what Abraham answered the Lord. When the Lord told him what he wanted to do in his life, this covenant of grace is amazing what God wanted to do. His answer to God was amen. Your Bible may say believe, but when you look up that word believe, it's the original wording in Hebrew, amen. And so I want to tell you, it's a powerful prayer. It's a witness. It means you're telling heaven, you're telling the Lord, you're telling your own soul, I want this. And all the people said, amen. Yeah. For this reason, we also utter amen to God through him, in his person, by his agency, to the glory of God. And so it's his will for you to receive his promises. But there are principles of faith. And they're the ways of God. They must be known and applied by grace through faith. He wants us to receive. You know what he wants us to do? This is a picture of faith. He wants us to flip the switch. That's exactly right. And that's not hard to do. I got little granddaughters that are way too young to know this, because, boy, they will make you think you're in a 70s. Oh, let's not go there. The lights will flash often when they figure it out. Mama has to tell them now, Thea, leave it alone, because it's so much fun and it's so easy to do. And I want to tell you, that's the way God's designed faith to operate in your life. I know religion can make it complicated. I'm against that. I've had books, I think they're gone, but I've had books that were very thick books on faith, and I would work my way through the book and close it and not know an idea about what I just read. Because, friends, it can get so deep. But I want to tell you, Jesus made it simple. Let me tell you, the simplicity of it is agreeing with God. The simplicity of faith is saying yes, submitting to the Lord. It's saying, you can do that. He designed you to do that. And he wants you to do that. And so he wants us to receive. He wants us to flip the switch. This brings him honor and glory. This blesses you. It brings him honor and glory. It blesses others when you say yes to God. It's his will for you. The Lord's already provided all he's going to provide through the death and resurrection of Jesus. He's our passport. He's already provided. Boy, the Old Testament, New Testament agrees that it's already been done. This is the sacrifice of Jesus. He's not coming back to sacrifice for your particular problem. It's already been paid. He's not going to come back and sacrifice and suffer for your need in your life. It's already been done. The Bible says, New Testament says, that it's once and for all, it's been done for you. And remember, he's the great I am, and he's provided more than enough for what you'll ever need in this life and the next. Is that great news? Well, the Lord's done this, and he says, by his stripes you were healed. Well, the first time I thought, that sound like past tense. And it has been, because he's already paid. Now, do we know how to receive everything from the Lord? No. But I want to tell you, he didn't make it complicated. He made it simple. He's our teacher. And I want to tell you something. We can learn of him to receive. That's part of why we're still here, is the discovery of how to receive from the Lord. And so he's got this in mind for you. There's always more for us to learn. Now, last week I talked about the little woman that touched his garment and was healed. And I can't go back to all that. I'm going to refer to it a time or two. But I want to tell you, it was from a distance that she became intimate with the Lord. It's not spoken that she ever had conversations and consulting and interview with Jesus. And that she wasn't even allowed to be out in public with her condition. And so she wasn't one of those that was following them around from place to place. No. But she did catch. Sometimes it's more caught than taught, but she did catch these simple ways of God. A principle is a way of God. It's the way God operates. Moses knew the ways of God. The children of Israel just saw his acts. Which one do you want to be? He paid the price for you to know his ways. Okay? And so, the little woman touched his garment and was healed. from a distance, she got to know him. That ought to speak to us. Because I want to tell you, we have an advantage over her. Because Holy Spirit's very present with us. 24/7. He says, I will never let you go. Never, never, never. It's a three-time emphasis. I'll never let you go. I'll never relax my hold on you. That is good stuff right there. And so we have him. He has us if you've received Christ. And so the thing is that we have an advantage over her. And plus, we have Old and New Covenant that point to his Father's, the Father's heart and the ministry of his Son Jesus. And so by grace through faith, she pursued Jesus and she caught it. She flipped the switch of faith. And so, listen, I just got to say this and I got to run on. But it goes like this. Our generation has a greater advantage over any generation that's ever lived. Because I want to tell you, the technology that you hold in your hand, that's probably in your car, at your house, you have available Word of God, praise and worship, messages, teachings. You have more availability. And I want to tell you something. It's to your advantage. Because I really believe that we're the generation that's going to see his return. And so I'm telling you, it's up to our responsibility. Let's respond to the ability that we have and saturate ourselves with the Word of God. We've got a great advantage. We have access to his words and testimonies of his works. But it's only the Holy Spirit. I don't care how much technology you have. It's only the Holy Spirit that reveals who he is. And so I'm telling you, it's real simple. We've taught teens for generations. Tom and Pat will remember this. But we get to people, if we can teach you to focus on Jesus and the Word. Focus on Jesus and the Word. Hey, there's a lot of facts in here, history in here. That's all good. None of it's bad. It's all good. But I want to tell you what's going to transform you is to see Jesus in the Word. Because when you see Jesus in the Word, the same Jesus you see in this Word is your Jesus. What he's done here, he can do for you. He's not limited. Hey, we would tell teens, and I'm telling you, you focus on what he's saying. You focus on what he's doing. And you meditate on that, on him in the Word. Not on Daniel's shoes, because Daniel wore size 10. I wear size 12 wide. That don't do me any good. But show me about Daniel's God. Because I find myself in lion's den. Come on. And I want to tell you, the same God that ministered to Daniel, that rescued Daniel, rescued Tim. Rescue you. And so it's focusing on God in the Word. When you focus on his what he says and what he does, the Holy Spirit reveals who he is. That's revelation. That's what he wants to do for anybody. It doesn't matter about your education or your bank account or what kind of success that you've had. This is for you. And he wants to reveal Jesus to you. The Holy Spirit does. Is that exciting? Well, that's a part of the exciting journey of being here. And so look at this. Knowing him, that's your path. Wow. If we could get folk just to accept that. Okay, 1 Peter 2:24. He personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Now, listen. He personally bore our sins. He took your personal sins on his personal body. The secret ones? The public ones? All of them. Past, present, future. He took all of your sins. Get this. Every generation, every culture, every creed, every culture, every generation. He took all of our sins on him. As on an altar and offered himself on it, that we might die, cease to exist to sin. Now look, this means that because of what he did, because he took our sins in his own body on the tree, he did that so that we can be free from the power and the punishment of sin. Amen. No one else can do that for you. No amount of counseling. No doctor. Jesus does that. And he's the only one that can do that, and he wants to do that. He will personally set you free, not just to say where you can say no to sin and resist it, but there's more. You ready for more? and to live to righteousness. And so it's not just the power to say no and to resist sin, but it's the power. This is what grace is the power to say yes. Yes to Jesus. And I want to tell you, when you say yes to him, then guess what? You're saying no to darkness. I'm telling you, he manifests. By his wounds you were healed. Well, why does it even mention that? Because there's the same price paid for everything. Same price. You may have a little one. Somebody else may have a big one. But I want to tell you, the same price was paid at the cross. The ground's level at the cross. What he paid for everybody else, he paid for you. We can benefit. It's not just the power to say no, power to say yes and receive. The same price paid. We're already blessed with all spiritual blessings. Wait a minute, don't I have to earn them? No, Jesus has already earned them for us, Ephesians 1:3. May blessing, and I want to tell you, this is blessing. This is to bless the Lord. A lot of times we want to run through that and get on to what happens for us. It's about him. I share with people, if you'll make it about him, he makes it about you. And when you make it about him, he makes it about you. Many, many, many are touched around you, and he receives much honor and glory. And so I want to tell you, you cannot praise and thank him too much. It's a gate. Enter to his gates. Enter to a gate. It's part of the ways of God. Hey, I want to tell you, you praise him, you love on him, it gives you glasses, and I'm going to get healed from these, but it gives you glasses to see him clearer. And now humans have the tendency that whatever we look at, we want to magnify. The brain, the mind does that. Human mind does that. People may have, sometimes I'm dealing with pastors, and you know, they get a I share with them, you know, you get a lot of head feed. You know, people saying, hey, man, you blessed me, it's good. You have to give all of that to Jesus. Yes. Be sure he gets honor and praise for it. Now, you don't rebuke people for saying, oh, it's not me. No, you don't have to do that. Just on the inside, you say, Lord, I know it's you. I bless you. I honor you. I give you all the praise. But I want to tell you something. They can say, somebody can come up and say one negative thing. And you know what I hear the next week from them? I'll tell you what they said about me. Well, wait a minute. How many people say good things? Well, you know, quite a bit. But we tend to focus. Are you with me? And the human mind tends to look at that toothpick down there and magnify it till it looks like a baseball bat. Well, I want to tell you what praise and worship does. This is something all of us can do. You can love on the Lord and bless the Lord. And you know what? It doesn't change God. He's the great I am. But it will change your focus of him. Your perspective of him. Do you get that? And I want to tell you, we need that because we need to continue to see God as the supply. Don't focus on the need. We focus on the supply. And all the people said. And so we're already blessed with all spiritual blessings. But I want to tell you, praise and thanksgiving, loving on the Lord helps you have glasses to see the goodness of God. To see God how big he is. All this be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual given by the Holy Spirit blessing in the heavenly realm. Wow, that's good. That very power himself, Jesus, has already paid and provided and said yes to you. When it says every spiritual blessing, I've had some try to corner me and say, now, Brother Tim, that's just the spiritual stuff. Well, no. You know what it is? That's the source. It all comes from the invisible to the visible. That's part of what faith is. Hope is the essence of things. Faith is the essence of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. You can't see it. The supply with your physical eye. But you can see it with your heart. You can see it with your spiritual eye. You can see it with your heart. The Lord, you can meditate on the goodness of God till he paints that picture on the big screen of your heart. And I want to tell you, that's what hope is. And so it's all in the invisible, but the Lord is the one that brings it from the invisible to the visible. Somebody say amen. Amen. You see, it's not deep, but it's something to be applied. And you say, well, I don't quite understand. It's okay. It's okay. You know what? You seek him. You tell the Holy Spirit today, I want to know how to make the switch of faith. I want to honor you. I want to see you. I want to be a receiver. We're not achievers, we're receivers. I want to be a blessing to many. It's with the switch of faith. He designed you for it. It's not foreign. It's for you. He designed you for it. And so he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So the spiritual is the source. Jesus is the power to make it happen. He's the one that manifests it. We don't manifest it. Jesus does. Our part's to pray and believe. Somebody say, I'm a believer. Well, it's important for believers to believe. Amen. I've already said that with the leadership, I think. But it's worth saying again. And so what we do is we use our chooser. And we submit. We in agreement, we say yes to the Lord. And, you know, he's already said that the promises are yes and amen. He's waiting on us to say yes and amen to agree. He's not going to do it without your consent. Come on. You know, I've shared with you, a little lady I got in mind, she told me a while back, well, now, Brother Tim, the Lord knows where I live. If he wants to heal me, he'll just come and do it. He knows where I live. Well, yes, but we need to cooperate. Okay, now look, whatever it is in your life, hey, he's got his best in mind for you. I'm just going to say something about his best. It's bigger than your dream for you. Amen. He's promised that. Isaiah 45:11. This is in the YLT. I'm just going to read it. I spent a lot of time on it last week. You have to go back to see that. But this is what Jehovah, the Holy One of Israel, his former says, ask me of things concerning my sons, yea, concerning the work of my hands, command me. Now, the context goes like this, is that the pot don't tell the potter what to do. Come on now. That ain't the way it works. But then he turns the table on this, and he says, but this is what I want from you. I want you to agree with me. I want you to yield to me. I want us to be on the same side of the table here. And when we're in agreement and you're in submission to me, I will show you things that you don't know. I will share my authority with you, which he's done in Christ, so that you can speak his heart, his will, his word, to decree what he wants in this life. That's with the promises. It's more than having your name on it. It's decreeing and declaring it. And so all of this, you know, where religion says, well, I just don't know if he will. He probably can, but I don't know if he will. Well, that's not decreeing and declaring the authority and the heartbeat of God. Okay. You're not the power source. We know that's clear, right? You're not the electric company for your house. You're not the power. If you have an all-electric home, I'm telling you, the help in your house will not operate without your consent. You got to turn it on. Somebody say, flip the switch. The electric company is not going to come to your house and turn it on for you. You go beg them, because there's a lot of begging going on in the kingdom. God, would you please? God, would you please? God, would you please? And you know what the Lord's saying? I already have. Amen. I've already done it. I want you to receive it. And you follow my principles, my ways, and you receive it. You practice it. You apply it. It's already in the house. Here's the house. You go over and flip the switch. You say yes. You agree. You declare it. You let it be so. Look, there are no benefits in your electric home until you apply them. You can be in an all-electric home and all the power to operate that house 24/7, and you can be in the dark, you can be cold, and you can be sad. Oh, that ought to sound familiar. I'm just saying. Doesn't have to be, does it? God's power doesn't flow in our lives like it could, like he wants it to, like he's provided for, until we flip the switch of faith. Now, I have some people say, Well, you know, that's just for the special anointed ones. No. Let's all say this 1,000 times, no. You, see, y'all saved me a lot of time right there. It's all that have received him. Hey, he's a great, great father. He wouldn't give us the opportunity to receive without the grace to receive. The precious little woman that received her healing put a number of spiritual principles into action that caused her to receive from Jesus. Hey, she recognized, she discovered some of the principles of God with Jesus. Here it goes. Are you ready? Number one, she heard of Jesus. Boy, this is, I'm telling you, this is something all of us can do. You got the technology to do it 24/7. I know of a mechanic that has it in his ears, the Word of God, and he listens to Jesus-centered messages the whole time he's at work. Now, over a period of time, he's covered a lot of ground. And some of it he keeps hearing over and over and over and over and over again. You know what? That's Bible. Faith cometh, and the wording's like this, faith cometh by hearing, 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 hearing. Because a lot of times the first time you hear it, it doesn't register. You may get just a little light there. But I want to tell you, as you continue to meditate on it, you hear Jesus-centered. Now, I'm not talking about preacher personality sermons. I'm talking about Jesus-centered sermons based on the Word. We got a man connected to our church, and he oversees different construction crews, so he's in his pickup quite a bit going from place to place. He puts in a CD, and I know that's old technology, but he puts in a CD of our service. And every time he stops, it stops right there. He starts up his truck. It starts back on. And so over a week's time, this is what he says. You know, Brother Tim, you're better the third time around. Man, I love that. You know what he's doing? He's soaking it in. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Are you seeking? Are you asking? Are you knocking? A-S-K, ask, seek, knock. I'm telling you, you'll receive because that's his heart for you. But she continued to hear about Jesus. Now, Mark 6:56. Do I have that, sweet one? And look at this. Now, how did she hear about this? Well, what about the touching of his garment? I had someone tell me, oh, that's a one-time thing. No, read your Bible. Yeah. Okay, let's go back to the Bible and not what a book about the Bible. Okay. I'm not going there. And wherever he came into the villages or cities of the country, they would lay the sick in the marketplaces and beg him that they might touch even the fringe of his outer garment. And look at this. Very few of them that touched him. What? Now, we're talking about the Bible here. Let's get on the Bible side. And as many as touched him were restored to health. You understand this was more than one time. Okay, do I have another one? I think it's Matthew 14:36. And they begged him to let them merely touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were perfectly restored. Now that's Jesus' ministry. Okay, I know that there's a tendency for humans to focus on methods. Well, I just need to get me one of them prayer shawls. I need to get me, you know, them fringes. And we need to be touching some fringes. I want to tell you, it's not the method, it's the master. It's not the healing method, it's the healer. And you can miss from the Lord if you focus on his hand and you don't come to his heart, you can miss. I don't want you to miss. He don't want you to miss. You come to his heart and you get all he is. Okay. So, you know, there were a lot of people healed by touching the hem of his garment. And she heard reports of Jesus. She heard the testimonies about Jesus healing people that just touched the fringe of his garment. And so she meditated on that. She focused on that. She heard people talk about the words of Jesus, that he was revealing a father that loved, because the religion of their day said that their God was mad. Jesus came to reveal the Father, that he was a great, great father, and that he loved sinners. Okay, so she heard reports concerning Jesus. And so she came up from behind him in the crowd of people, and she touched his garment. Now, wait a minute. Let's back up. Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. That's why that I emphasize to pastors, I emphasize to saints, that let's focus on messages that are Christ-centered. It's okay if a pastor has a story. We can hear that story. But I want to tell you, let's hear his story in our story. Let's let our history be his story. That's why we tell people when we have testimony service every week, but when we share testimony, that you know what? Don't spend time on the dark side. We're all familiar. It may be in a different pit, but we know what the pit smells like and feels like. Just refer to it if you need to, but hurry up and get to the good part. Talk about what Jesus has done. Because the Holy Spirit, as you're sharing testimonies of the works of Jesus in your life, the Holy Spirit's whispering to people and ministering like he did to this little woman, that what he's done for others, he will do for you. See, that's testimony. Amen. So faith cometh by hearing what is told. And it's about the words of Jesus, specifically the words that Jesus spoke. And she meditated on these. Now, meditate, and I did a series on meditation. I think it's a missing link. But I want to tell you something. One of the words that describes meditation is to mutter. It's kind of like when you're rehearsing it on the inside. And you're talking it over to yourself. And you're rehearsing it. It's like taking the orange and squeezing all the juice. Get every juice, every drop out. Come on. And so it's muttering. It's speaking it to yourself. And we give confessions of a new creation here for people to confess the Word of God, help to realize who they are in Christ. We got a confession right now of blessing that we're doing that I kind of redid from the priestly blessing, putting some shepherd language in it. But it's just focusing on Jesus and saying who you are in Christ. And so I want to tell you, that is powerful. Your own ears, I don't know if you understand this, but your own ears, your own soul needs to hear you say, you give agreement to, you give allegiance to, you confess with your mouth what God says about you instead of what the world says or doctors say or history says. Your history does not limit you from receiving from God. He paid the price. Your unbelief can hinder you, but this is how to believe. By meditating, when you do that, you know what the Holy Spirit does? He paints a picture on the big screen of your heart about what he wants to do with you. And you know what? As you meditate on the Lord and you focus and you're renewing your mind, he paints that picture and you say one day, oh, that's got my name on it. Are you with me? You need to hear Jesus whisper your name, and that the Holy Spirit paints this picture on the big screen of your heart that this is you, this is for you. And when that's what hope is. Hope is the expectation. Are you with me on this? Somebody ought to write this down. It may be already in the notes, but hope is the expectation, the positive expectation of God's goodness coming to your life. I like to say it like this, soon and very soon. Because that's his heart. That's what Psalm says, that he'll chase you down with it. But this is the inside speaking. Are you with me? I need to move on. Somebody say yes. So Mark 5:28, and she kept saying, please don't take a swing and miss and say it don't work for me. I'm telling you, stay in the batter's box. Stay on the line of scrimmage until it works for you. Keep seeking until there's a witness, manifestation witness, of the yes of God in your heart. And you say yes to his yes. It's on. It's on. If I only. See, she personalized. It got personal. It went from an inside view, an inside speaking, and it became an outside speaking and outside action. Wow, that's how to flip the switch. Okay? I'll be restored to health. See, you see? It went from inside to outside. That's the way it works with us. I know there's a people that run around, and I'll tell you what, I had a call from a person from another state, and they said, I don't know why they told me all this. They said, you know, we're calling you because I want you to pray for me to be healed. I said, well, we do that. We'll do that. It's an honor. And she said, well, I want you to know who all I've called. And man, she named big shots across the country. Of course, I was wanting to know, how did you get my number? But I told her, I said, I want to say something to you first. You have just as much authority in Christ as any big shot. That's right. In any pulpit. Yeah. Did you know that Jesus loves you just as much as he loved the Apostle Paul or loved the John, the disciple, the Apostle John? He loves you just as much. He doesn't love you less. He paid the same price for his best for you. And so you can pray. I'll pray with you. But let's agree, it's the power of agreement. But I'm telling you, you have authority in Christ. He loves you. He wants you to receive personally from him. He's your shepherd. And so Luke chapter 6, verse 19. I actually don't remember what. Okay. I love this too. All the multitude was seeking to touch him. This is why that I tell people it's okay to have a scripture of the day. It's okay to have a cute little quiet time. But you can tell the way I say that, that there's more. Right. Don't just settle for a quiet time. Hey, touch the Lord. Yes. Yes. Reach out to touch the Lord. Everybody that touched the Lord got touched. Right. And virtue came out of him. And so have an encounter with him. Now, some days it may be like dry cereal. I'm just telling you. You know, we don't walk perfectly. It may be dry, like dry cereal for a few days, but I want to tell you, if you keep in your heart, see, reaching out to him, Lord, I want you. I want to touch you. Lord, I want to know you better. Boy, I'm telling you, that's powerful. And when you reach out to him to touch him, I want to tell you, he's going to touch you. And it'll be like Bluebell. I'm talking homemade vanilla. It's so good. But it'll be like that with you. And you'll be overflowing. But that's the Lord. You know, it's a relationship. It's not a robot. It's a relationship. Oh, man. Ooh, I want to stay there. She applied. Wow, I got to wrap up. And I got, whew, this may be a future series. She applied it. You see, it's the truth applied. But it's not just copying what somebody else is doing. And I have to say that because I see that in the kingdom. Precious little saints that are just seeking and wanting to know. This is how. It's through him. It's not through copying what somebody else did. You can't just copycat a miracle. But I want to tell you, you can take the Word of God. You can take and seek the presence of God and the Word of God. You can apply the Word of God till hope comes up in your heart. And I want to tell you, you can act it out in faith and you can receive. This Word is holy seed, incorruptible seed that you plant on the soil of your heart. And I want to tell you, it can be 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold manifestation of the kingdom of God in your life. It may take a season. But listen to me. You're worth it. Amen. Listen. He's worth it. Listen. The people that you don't even see yet, amen, they're worth it. He's worth it. He's worth it. She applied it. She acted it out. She touched him. Somebody say it one more time. She flipped the switch. You see, real faith results in action. You can be a bump on a stump and say all day long, I got faith. But if it don't result in action, according to Scripture, and I got a lot of them right here I didn't get to. According to Scripture, it's not activated faith. Your faith is activated by your words. By your words. I want to tell you, if we could help you understand, and we're working on this, but if we could grow up to the place where we say, you know what, my words have authority and power, and I don't care what they say, I don't care what it feels like, I don't care what I don't see or feel, I'm going to say what God says about me. And when you give an allegiance to God and you say what God says, I want to tell you, kingdom authority is being released. Amen. Now, are we just going to treat this like a roll of the dice? And a wish prayer? You know, that's big out there. Well, I don't know if God will, but, you know, he's done it for others. And I'm just going to pray it and say it, and we'll just roll the dice and see if he will. No. I want to tell you, that's religion. Religion stinks, man. Religion has its own pit. Man, I'm telling you, that pit is a ditch. It's a grave with doesn't have any ends in it. It's a grave. There's no hope there. But I'm telling you, with Jesus, this is for you. And when this becomes real in your heart, I want to tell you, you say what God says, and you act it out. I wonder what it was like for her to go through and push through that crowd, knowing it was illegal for her to be there. Broke all kind of laws to do it. But she had that desperation, that focus, that, you know what, she believed. And she saw it in her heart. It was in the invisible before it came visible, but she was willing to step out and act it out. And I think she just dove through the crowd, see, and reached out there and just grabbed the hem and let go of it. But Jesus knew. And you know what? He loved her enough to stop. Because he wasn't going to let this go without her confession of victory. And you know what? When she humbled herself, she was experiencing the awe of God. We need the awe of God. And I want to tell you, she confessed what she received. And Jesus said to her, your faith has healed you. And then he told her how to walk in healing. He said, you'll be continuously healed by walking in my peace. I got to finish. And so let me finish with this. Disease in the heart, disturbance in your life, can bring disease. I'm not saying that's the case in everything. I'm just saying there's a principle there. On the dark side. And so one of the things that Jesus wants to do, and he'll do this right now today, is minister peace to your heart. He is peace. He doesn't just give peace. He is peace. And I want to tell you, all that he has is available. We're going to look at that next week. And I hope you listen. I hope you're here. I hope you bring people. I hope you tune in. And let's find out what all he's paid for. Would you bow your heads and let me just pray a prayer over you? And I want you to keep in mind that as soon as service is over with, we have a leadership team back here in the back. And you just walk back there. It'd be our honor and our privilege to lay hands on you, to pray over you. We'll anoint you with oil. We get to lead people to Christ. If you've never given your life to Christ, you can do that today. Don't leave this building without surrendering to the Lord, without meeting Christ. Come back and let us pray the prayer of agreement over you for whatever your need is, because he's the great I am. And he's designed you to receive. Lord Jesus, we just bless these precious people. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're our witness of truth. Holy Spirit, come and witness your truth in a very clear way. We just pray that the eyes of the heart are open. The ears of the heart are open. And that, Lord Jesus, they receive the picture that you paid for. You suffered for our freedom. Lord, you paid the price for us to be free. Lord, your precious blood was more than enough to release us from every sin, every manifestation of sin, every misery of sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that by your blood we have the power of your righteousness. To not only say no to sin, but yes to you. Yes, we say yes to grace right now in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen, amen, amen and amen. All right.